Friends, I'm turning tonight to Proverbs chapter 21 and to verse 5. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And tonight we will be thinking about diligence. The blessings in Christian diligence. How the diligent Christian will be blessed by the Lord. And friends, this is a very, very important subject, to be diligent in the house of the Lord. If you sit down and think of what Christ has done for you, if you sit down and analyze what he went through, as we just learned from the hymns, it leaves you only to be diligent in his service. To give all your life in his service, because you were saved to serve him. You are not saved for yourself. So we'll be looking at this as we go through some of the themes in Proverbs, as I said the other time. Here we know that Proverbs is full of wisdom, a collection of so many ideas and ways to live in this world. It's a collection of practical life wisdom, but they are given mostly in short, as we were just reading, memorable statements that you can always reflect upon them. Though part of a larger body, you know, Solomon, he wrote the other books, Ecclesiastes and all those things, and even Job, they are all books of the poem. But this Proverbs is so unique. One commentator said, Proverbs is law from heaven for life on earth. Law that God has given us for life on earth. And if you follow it, you will be blessed by the Lord. The last time we had the opportunity, we look at wisdom, where we learn how wisdom helps us in our daily works, in our work with the Lord. We learn a lot from wisdom, and the importance and how to seek for wisdom. As I've already said, tonight we are going to look at diligence. What it is. We will look at what it is, the marks of a diligent person, and the rewards, the benefits, the blessings of the diligent Christian. The Bible describes diligence as a precious possession. The same Proverbs somewhere, it talks about diligence being a precious possession. And also the reward for diligence is so great, we will learn it later on, that it drives a person to be successful, even in a career, in this world, in business, and in life. Whatever you do in this world requires diligence to be successful. You can't just relax and expect that your work will be successful. It requires diligence. So diligence is a virtue that requires more than just talent or intelligence or wisdom. It takes hard work and then persistence. And it is the same way working with the Lord. You have to be determined in your heart, as I've said earlier on. Christ has come to die for me. He died for me that I should serve him. So you purpose in your heart that whatever you are doing, you put him first. You put his word first. And it's only by doing that you can be diligent in his work. Otherwise, you will relax. So it's very, very important what we are going to talk about today. But before I go on, I want you to know that there are two kinds of diligence, as I've already explained to you. Typical diligence, as in our work, in our businesses, in everywhere. And then we have the spiritual diligence, which is our focus for tonight. But I will start with the physical. This physical diligence, I give it a term physical because it requires men throughout their lifetime on earth. The Bible also tells us that poverty is as a result of slothfulness or laziness. Because, you see, here, Proverbs is telling us the rewards of diligence and slothfulness. When you are diligent, when you are hardworking, when you purpose in your heart to achieve something, what will be the reward as compared to when you take things easy, you relax and still expect good results. He says you will be poor. You will be a poor man. The English dictionary defines diligence as, he says, a careful attention, industry, activity, unrelenting application, persistent endeavor. You look at the words here. Careful attention, industry, activity, unrelenting application, persistent endeavor. You see, the opposite of slothfulness. You do everything with hard work, with determination, careful attention. And people who are diligent, they have firm goals. You see, they have a firm goal and they want to achieve it. By all means, they want to achieve them. They don't take shortcuts or they don't give up. Giving up is not an option. They will never give up. They will go on and on and on until they achieve their aim. So they have a firm schedule to keep with no room for idleness or complacency. This is a diligent person who wants to achieve something. And each step that he takes is measured, each action is analyzed and improved. Any action he takes, he will analyze it. And if there should be an improvement, he improves it. So diligent people are reliable. People who are diligent are reliable, responsible, and conscientious in whatever the tasks that are entrusted to them. And God requires such people. People that he can trust and realize that this man, if I give him this job, I know he can. In the same way as in our secular jobs, our bosses require people who are reliable, that they can entrust things in their hands. The Lord requires the same thing in us, that he can trust us with his word. We believers carry the most important message on earth. So you have to be diligent to be able to send this message across. It's not an easy task. So the diligent person, each step is measured, each action is analyzed, and then improved. So diligent persons are reliable, responsible, and conscientious. And God expects nothing less than this. If we have to work with him, he expects us to be diligent in our service. Beloved, laziness does not profit. And God blesses the work of man. He does not bless the idle worker. He blesses the work that you do. You can't just sit down and expect God to bless you. I don't know how he wants you to bless you. It's just like multiplying a figure by zero. It will still be zero because there's nothing there. That's what it is. If you are not diligent in God's service and you want God to bless you, I don't know what you want God to bless you on. That's the point that Proverbs is telling us now. So, let's come to the other diligence, which is the spiritual one that I talk about, which is our focus for tonight. I call it the spiritual diligence. And that is what will add value to your spirit being. If you are a Christian, it is diligence that will add value to your spiritual life. And we know from the scripture that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's those who diligently seek him that he rewards them. So in Christianity, diligence is the effort to do one's part while keeping faith and reliance on God. See, like I said, if you multiply zero by any number, it will be zero. But if you put in an effort, if you do something, then God will bless it. That is why you do your part and leave the rest in the hands of God. You can't expect God to save people and you don't send the word of God to them. You see, you preach and then, or you talk to people and then you pray for God to bless your effort. That's diligence. You are diligent in what you are doing. You are serious, you are careful, and may God will bless it. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he charged them to keep and tend the Garden of Eden. And the same way, God has called every one of us with a life of diligence. He didn't call us to a life of laziness. And there's a general blessing we know for all mankind, but then there's a special reward for the diligent person. Everyone has some kind of blessing from the Lord. It rains for everybody. We all have mercy and all those things, but it's a special blessing that God gives people who are diligent, especially those who are diligent in His way. So, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must be diligent. And one of the most important lessons that we can learn from the disciples of Jesus is that they were diligent. If you study them, they were always on the way doing something for the Lord. They spent all their lives in spreading the gospel of God. And they were people like us. They were men like us. Sometimes when I read about people like the Puritans and the Reformers, then I ask myself, what are we doing? People who can even work to the point of laying up their lives for the word of God. And they were men like us. They were diligent people. They had purpose in their heart. But this is what they want to do for the Lord. So we can see that majority of Christ's disciples were fishermen. A diligent work. It's not an easy work to be a fisherman. So Christ didn't just call them. He called them because they are diligent. Because He knows He can use them. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were all fishermen. And we will read about how these fishermen were diligent in their work. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" So he saw their diligence and saw that they are people that he can use. So he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You see the diligence I'm talking about. So as you can see, these disciples of Christ were not lazy people. Fishermen are very hardworking people. So when Jesus found them, they were busy doing something, their job. You see, these men, they were people of business. They were employed, not someone who is irresponsible and unreliable. They were people that you can trust, and that's how come Christ called them. So they were diligent, they were hardworking, and they were industrious. Otherwise, Christ would never have chosen them. He saw their diligence and then called them. And that is what we are supposed to be. In the same way, Christians today are not to be lazy. Whenever it's possible, we must not be a burden to others, even in our own way, in our own families. If it depends on us, we must be very careful that we don't even depend on other people, but rather, through the fruits of our own labor, we become a blessing unto them. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." So you see, he taught first about diligence as a virtue, and then you add the other one. Then 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he are denying his faith, and it is worse than an infidel." You see what he's saying here? If you are not even diligent in your work to provide for your family, he's saying that you are worse than an infidel, than someone who is not even a believer. So being industrious and diligent is not simply a matter of principle, but a matter of faith. Here you see what he's talking about, that you must be diligent as a Christian to be able to take care of your family. So being lazy literally means you are denouncing your faith. And it can happen to us in our service to the Lord. The devil can give you so many excuses. If you are not diligent, you will yield to it. Because it is not easy. And that is why I'm saying Christ called people who are diligent, who want to serve Him, who want to give all their lives to Him. So you see how important it is to be diligent and productive as Christians. You might say that you are a follower of Christ, but if you don't provide for your family or for yourself, then you are simply doing a lip service. That is what Timothy and Paul are saying here. You know the life of fishermen, as I've said, is a difficult one. They are always accustomed to the danger of water. They are always in danger. They are often wet, tired, and cold. It's a fabulous job. And they are always, every morning, they have to wake up and go to the high seas. Very dangerous place. And that is an example for us. Because if you want to follow Christ, then you know how to endure hardship. If you don't know how to endure hardship, if you want to serve God at your convenience, you can never be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You must be a diligent person, determined that no matter what it is, I will have to do what I need to do, because that is why I have been called. That is why Christ died for me. He laid down his life for me, but not for my own sake, for to help save other people, to keep his church running. When he said the gates of hell can never prevail against my church, he's relying on his people. Because the church is people who run the church. If everybody stays at home, how can the church run? So you see, he's talking about diligence in his service. Ephesians chapter 9 verse 10 also tells us, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor advice, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Whilst you are on earth, especially if you are a young person and you are active, this is the time to serve the Lord. There will be a time that you want to serve and you can't serve. I remember there was a man at TNBC who was very, very punctual, very regular at church, and all of a sudden the man fell ill. And you could see how the man was worried that he couldn't do what he had been doing before. So, if you have the opportunity, whatever it takes for you to serve God diligently, you have to do it. Now, who is telling us this? The wisest king, King Solomon. He is the one telling us this, that if you, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your own mind, because there will be a time that you can be, or even you can die, and when you die, it is finished. So, Solomon is telling us that we must do whatever we need to do while we are alive, or while we are able. Because when we approach death, that will be the end. So, you take advantage of your energy. There will be a time the energy will not be there. You can't stand, you can't sit, you can't do anything. So this is the time that you have to do it. In the same Proverbs 12:27, Solomon also talked about diligence as man's, like I said, precious possession. He said, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Here, what he's trying to say is that the lazy man can go hunting and even get a prey. But because of laziness, he can't even roast it and enjoy it. That's the point he's saying here. That he said the diligent person, the slothful man, roasted not that which he took in hunting. He can't even roast it because of laziness and then enjoy it. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. See, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. So Solomon is showing that the lazy man does not finish his job. When you give him a job, you can't trust him to finish it. He does more and he tells you, I'm tired. So this is the point that he's saying. So being industrious in your work leads to prosperity. That's what he's saying here. He says, the substance of a diligent man is precious. Solomon goes on again in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. That's a long thing. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her way, and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer, and gathered her food in the harvest. How long would thou sleep, O sluggard? When would thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of thy hand to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travel, and thy want is an armed man. So you see, we should go to the ant. If you have seen ants before, have you ever seen an ant who is idle? They are always active. Ants are always active doing something. If you see an ant that is idle, then the ant is dead. They are always active. So there's wisdom in this passage that King Solomon is telling us. It is rare for you to find an ant who is lazy. If you find one, then probably the ant is dead. So we should learn from them and be diligent in our lives, personal lives, and especially our work with God. This reminds me of what Paul also wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. He says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men please it, but in singleness, sincerity of heart." When he says in singleness, he means sincerity of heart. "Fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for he serves the Lord Jesus Christ." What he's saying here is that when you are serving, don't look at men, don't look at your pastor, that you only try to do something when your pastor is around. No. Is it your pastor who saved you? You are serving the Lord, and the Lord sees you, and he knows your heart. That's the point he's trying to say here. He said that, "Do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the..." God will reward you. He sees it. It is not the pastor who will reward you. It's not the elder who will reward you. It is God. So you work as if you are working, and not even as if you are, because you are working for God. So you work with sincerity of heart, not as men pleasing, trying to please a man. That is wrong. So Paul is telling us not to simply work when somebody is looking. He's telling us that we must work as if our boss is Jesus. We need to praise God through the way we perform our job. Then you are appreciating what he has done for you through the way that you serve him. We know that sometimes there are times that circumstances will not allow you, sometimes your health, family issues, and we all know that, and God too knows that. But if you want as much as possible to be diligent, God will make a way for you. If only you have purpose in your heart that this is what you want to do, God will make a way for you. I remember some time ago, one elder, he wasn't coming to evening services, and when he was asked, he said he feared that when he comes, Robert will go to his house. An old person. And I'm saying that even you, when they come and you are there, what can you do? When even they come and meet you there, you can't do anything. Why don't you trust in God? You think that if you leave your house to go and serve God, God cannot take care of your house for you. And that was the thing that the man was giving, a senior elder, you know, and he was saying that because he fears of robbers, thieves, so he can't come to God. You see, you can have so many excuses. Satan can give you so many excuses, but it depends on you, your heart, what you have purpose to do. So, friends, we should be diligent in our walk with the Lord, in our walk in life, as well as our walk with the Lord. And being diligent in this life will not only benefit you temporarily, but also in the life to come. Even in our spirituality, we are instructed to be diligent in keeping the commandments of God. Even that, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17, he said, "Ye shall diligently keep the commandment of the Lord your God." Diligently keep it. "And his testimony and his statutes, which he has commanded thee." You see, even then he said you should do it diligently. Otherwise you will relax. He knows we have an enemy. Satan is there. He will give you thousands and over excuses why you can't do that. But if you are diligent and you are trusting in God, God will make a way for you to be able to do it. Friends, now let's look at the rewards of the Christian diligence. What do we gain if we are diligent in the Lord? The reward is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer, because serving the Lord is not easy." There's suffering in it, there's tribulation in it. So he said, "Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tired, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." That is the reward. He will give you the crown of life. So if we don't give up, Jesus will give us the crown of life. Because like I said, it is not easy. But if you really want to do it, and you do it with diligence, he said he will give you the crown of life. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. You see, you should know that your labor will never be in vain. God will always reward you. If you want to say always abounding in the work of the Lord, he's saying that always strive to improve your obedience to Scripture. When you say you should always be abounding in the work of the Lord, so you must strive to improve your obedience to Scripture. And it should be evident by what you do and how you act in your life, so that you may become more and more like Christ. The hymn that we just read, 449, let me be like him, because we are being trained to be like him. We saw how diligent Christ was when he was on earth. Even him, who was God himself, he was always on the move, always making sure that people are safe, and finally gave up his life for us. Then he said, your labor not be in vain. Our labor will not be in vain. See, Christians shall be rewarded with the price of eternal life in Jesus in heaven. Think about that. What the reward will be when the crown of life will be given to us for living a Christ-like life. And what is this? It's the diligence. All the effort, the perseverance, and suffering will not be for nothing. Jesus was resurrected, and then people witnessed. People saw that Christ came back to life. We know that it is true. So the scriptures are true. And Christians will inherit eternal life in heaven. Jesus. So if he said he will give you that crown, it is true. Because we know that he came back from death to life. So he will give you as your crown when we go to heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints. You see? He said, God is not unrighteous or unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, what you have done for him. Witnessing to people, teaching Sunday school children, helping in the work. He sees all these things, and he's saying that's what you have done. He is not unrighteous to know, to forget about all what you have done. So Christians, we love our love, which is carried out in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us to be able to work, to be able to serve God better. And so if you know that you have this power in you, what is your problem? Why can't you just completely give your life to him and serve him to the end? Now, the writer knows that God is not unjust, and that those who are trusting him will never be disappointed by him. Like I said, there are occasions where we need correction and times when we need instruction. But God knows that there are also times when his people need encouragement. He knows all those things. And personally, if you have practiced it, you will see that it is true. Sometimes, even when we have to go home and within about 1.5 hours or 2 hours come back to Sunday school, it's difficult. I know it's difficult. But then we also say to yourself, so if I don't go, what will I be doing? If I don't go, what exactly will I be doing at home? Watching television, sleeping, or doing what? This, then, you think of what Christ has done for you. Who are you serving? Are you serving man or God? And then he changes you. That's when he encourages you. Then you make a move. So the writer knows that the work that we do will never go unnoticed. Then 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If you hear, what he's telling us is that if you say that you have been saved, if you say that you have been born again, let's see the diligence in you. The diligence makes a sure calling. He says, to make your calling and election sure, if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you really believe that you have been called, because the same Holy Spirit that was working in Paul and Peter and the Reformers and the Puritans, the same Spirit that is working in us too. So it is a sure proof that you have been saved. You are born again. The diligence that should be seen in you. He said, Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That is a sure proof that you have been called by God. That's the diligence he's talking about. So basically, 2 Peter 2 verse 26 says that the elect, whose salvation is sure, according to Romans chapter 8 verse 29, and show evidence of their election by continuing to believe in Christ and ministering good works. You see, counterproving with their salvation. So it is a proof of your salvation, the diligence work that you are doing. If you are sluggish, if you are lazy in God's work, you must be very careful with your salvation. Because it is the same Spirit that works in all of us. We know that the Holy Spirit works differently in each person. But when it comes to, you see, the difference is zeal. As we read in Psalm 59, Christ said, the zeal for your house has eaten me up. Christ was talking about the zeal for God's house. Do you have that zeal? Do you have a zeal for God to serve Him? We know that it is not all of us that have the same, but there are some basic things that should be in every believer, everyone who is saved. Matthew 2:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. According to the same verse 25, we are told not to worry about food or drink or clothes. Jesus tells us to consider the birds and the lilies of the field who don't even work for their basic needs, because God provides for them. It is then the invitation comes to put God first, and He will meet our needs. Once we put God first, the rest will follow. It will be in order. So, but if you put yours first, then you are turning the whole thing around. Put God first and see if God will not help you. And then 34 gives advice. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. So if you make God's work our priority, all the rest will follow. I remember when we were children, in this church, they had the saying, now the apostle, literally saying that, take care of God's work, and yours will also prosper. And it is true. That's how they were greeting themselves when they meet their fellow friends on the street. And the other one will say, now the apostle. And that is true. Seek God first, serve Him, and He will also make your wants his own. So as I said earlier on, we have to compare the diligence and zeal of the apostles and us, the reformers, the Puritans and us, and know that God has not changed sin. It is the same God, as I said, the same God. The cause of holiness has not changed. We must be holy. Neither the threat of the enemy has changed. So God hasn't changed. The cause of holiness hasn't changed. The threat of Satan hasn't changed. But we see the story that we lack zeal for the honor and glory of God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And then zeal for God's house and His work, as we read in Psalm 69. Christ Himself. So when he was talking about this in Luke, he was quoting Christ in Psalm 69, verse 9, and Psalm 119, verse 139. And then we would like to be for advance of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19-23. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, talking about holiness, without which we can never see God. So there must be the zeal. We must be zealous for God's work. Think about it. If all Christians are by the grace of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and all have the same regeneration, why should there be differences in passion, desire, devotion, and sacrifice? Why should there be differences? If it's the same God who has saved us, the same Spirit dwelling in us, then why should there be differences? There shouldn't be. Like I said, it's not everybody who can stand here and preach. It's not everybody who can teach Sunday school. But once the zeal is there, you have something that you can also do to serve the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, the Spirit does not work to the same degree in all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 also. But the difference is zeal. Are you zealous for God's work, There's a rapper called Samuel Ward. He said, what do you know the Christians differ from the other is this. All Christians have a life threshold faith. All true Christians have all graces in their seat, but the degree of them are nowhere better discerned by zeal. It is your zeal that shows who you are, the kind of Christian you are. So we should examine ourselves to determine the quality, the measure, and the temperature of our zeal towards the things of God. Now, how do we become diligent? That's our last, as we come to conclusion. How do we become diligent? First is by regular prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Like I said, the work is not easy. You must pray for God to give you this zeal, this diligence to serve Him. Second, study of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So to be diligent, you must pray. To be diligent, you must study the word of God. The third one is evangelism and soul winning. We have the instructions for evangelism and soul winning. And this requires great zeal and diligence. I remember one time I was talking to Joel Dickey, and he was saying that if a day passes and he has not been able to witness to somebody, he feels there's something wrong with him. If even one day, even if he's going home, in the lift he will talk to somebody to make sure that he has spoken to somebody. This is diligence, somebody who has the zeal for God. And we must have the same thing in us, because we have been commanded to go out and preach the word of God to people. And then Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we are commanded to go on evangelism. It's not only on Saturdays when we meet here. I mean, wherever you are, pray that God will give you opportunity to witness to people. And then the last one in diligence is also what the Bible calls pure religion. That is helping the helpless and the needy, which include the widows and the orphans. Helping people is also another thing that you need to do to be diligent. And all these things require diligence, because we are the workmanship of God, according to Ephesians 2, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So, friends, in this world of ours, only the diligent can make a remarkable impact. It is true. Only the diligent. Even in politics, look at our politicians when they are campaigning. Some don't even sleep. From dawn to the next day, they go to villages where people, even those who are farming, don't go. You see MPs going there. Diligent, because they want it. And that is what we should do. We should be diligent, not for them, for the Lord. Because we are not for this world. So we must be diligent for God. In this world, it's only the diligent that can make a remarkable impact. One thing is sure. If you continue to do that which you are supposed to do, you will soon strike the rock that will bring out water. There's a reward for diligence, and the reward is positive. It is true. We have seen the meaning of diligence. We have seen the marks of a diligent person. We have seen the reward of diligence and how to attain diligence. So don't be slothful in business. Be fervent in the spirit. When you do this, you have shown diligence, and your reward is sure to come, according to the word of God. The God who never lies, say, be diligent, and I will reward those who diligently seek me. Those who serve me with diligence, I will reward them. So let's know this and pray. My prayer is that God will grant us this diligence. You know, it's a hard work, but there's nothing impossible before God. If only we have purpose in our hearts to do whatever it takes to do, let's pray, and He will provide. God gives you the work to do, and He enables you to do. You can't do anything by yourself. But trusting in Him and purposing in your heart that you really want to do it, He will make a way for you to do it. And your reward is sure.